us. We're going to be looking at a passage in the book of Revelation, which for most people is the book that we spend the least amount of time in, because we don't understand the figurativeness, we don't understand the images, we don't understand, there's too many other ideas out there. And normally if you have a new Bible, it's one of the hardest books to find, because the binding will hide it from you. And what I mean by that is when you open your Bible, usually it will open towards the middle. And then when you try to find Revelation, it's usually kind of hidden and stuck to the pages, because it's 21 chapters, or 22 chapters, but it is also got a lot of interesting content. But if you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, and we are going to be reading the first few verses out of chapter 21 this morning together. If you would, please stand as we read God's Word together. It will not be on the screen, I'm sorry. I didn't put it up there for reasons. But we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 8 this morning together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will be no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, in the first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have shown to us through that which Christ has done. As we talk about having something new and being made new in you, may our hearts be centered on what you have done in us. May we always remember, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, Revelations 21:8 is a pretty interesting verse. In fact, as a kid, we learned a song. You might have learned it. Revelations 21:8, 21:8. Liars go to hell, liars go to hell. Burn, 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 burn. Not a pleasant song to think about, is it? But is it scriptural? Yes. You can only imagine what they were trying to get. This was a different church than the church I grew up in, so understand that it wasn't one of those things. But when you think of what God is promising here, do you ever pay attention to what he's promised for us in Christ Jesus? My wife and I are wrapping up the endeavor of moving into a new apartment. We were living out on Gall Boulevard in a house that was way too big for us. And when you have a four-year-old now, and she is an active four-year-old, she can mess it up faster than you can clean it up. And so it was a constant effort for my wife, at least, to always be cleaning up after Ziza. And also, I'll take this moment for just a moment. Stickers for a four-year-old. Stickers are a parent's nightmare because they end up on the wall, they end up on tile. And now I will say I was one of the ones who bought stickers for her, bought a book that had over 600 stickers. That book doesn't have 600 stickers anymore. They're all over the walls and on the tiles and everywhere else. And we're actually finding them on all the different items that we packed up. But when you move into a new house with the same old junk, guess what happens? It's the same old problems. It's still, you have to deal with the same old stuff. And when you look at the history of America, there was a time period when America was first founded, and they came over with the germs and all the old sicknesses that the people had already become immune to. What happened when they came to the New World? It killed a lot of the Native Americans that were already here because they had not experienced those same sickness and those same diseases and same viruses, and because that they were not immune to the same old problems that people in other lands had dealt with, that they were susceptible to, and people died because of the same old problems that existed. And when we look at this passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it is a very important part to pay close attention to. This is God speaking. He's sitting on the throne. And he says in verse 5, and he, this is what John says, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. This is God talking. He is making, doing a work in this world today. And he's doing that work through us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, we are committed to doing what Christ has started. What Christ has started in him was a new creation. And that is what we have become in Christ Jesus. God makes things new when Christ is received. In John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You see, God is doing something great in his creation. That's what this world is. That's what we are. We are his creation. Don't think for a moment that we belong to ourselves. We don't. At any given moment, God can be done with this. He demonstrated that in the book of Genesis when he got to the place with mankind and the wickedness of man had grown so dark and deep that every inclination of their heart was filled with death and murder. That God himself was grieved that he ever created man. So what did he do? He said in his heart that he was going to destroy all mankind. But then he looked and he found one that was favorable, and that was Noah. And because of his openness to see redemption and to redeem his fallen creation, he set a plan in motion that he would redeem the world through one man and his family, and that was Noah. So he cleansed the earth with the flood. God did that because of the unrighteousness and the wickedness of his creation. He had taken responsibility for what his creation had become. The same way a parent would take responsibility for their child when their child has done something wrong. You know, you see it on TV. They just can't believe their child had done something like something so grievous, that they had done something so callous. And they just want to say, I'm sorry to the family for what my child has done. You hear those words. What are they doing? They're taking responsibility for what their child has done. The same way God has took responsibility for what his creation had done. And he set in motion a plan to start over. through Noah. And through Noah, that's what had begun, is a new direction for the creation. And God put in that place. And then after Noah, there was Abraham. And then after Abraham, there was Moses. And after Moses, all the 12 tribes of Israel that led up to Jesus Christ. And in Jesus, we see the fulfillment of the plan that God has always had in motion. A new creation has begun. The old has passed away. A new life. See, Christ did not come to start a religion. He didn't come to bring in new rules and new orders of living. He didn't do that. He came to bring a new heart for those who become his followers. Here's the difference between receiving Christ and getting religion. Religion offers a set of laws to keep. Christ offers new life and the power to live it. You see, it's not by my strength, by my will. It's by the will of God in Christ Jesus that I am made capable to keep that which God has done in us. And then he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit that draws us into that relationship and connects us fully into that power. And yes, I've quoted this verse plenty of times, and I'm going to quote it again. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because he that is in you gives you the power to overcome the trials and the tribulations that are in this world. The Holy Spirit gives you the capabilities to keep your eyes on Christ, because it gives us the power to recall what's coming, the promise of what's to come. Have you ever been promised anything? I mean, have you ever been promised something that you were really... We went out last night, and the plan was we're going to take Ziza to the drive-in to see Dumbo, because it was playing, and I was like, hey, let's go see Dumbo. It's easier to do it at a drive-in than trying to do it in a movie theater when you have kids, because they're locked down in a drive-in. You just watch them, let them watch the screen. We're going to go watch Dumbo. Nothing new. Every commercial that I've seen is not a new movie. It's the old movie just remade into a new form. So we promised her we'd go take her to see Dumbo. We got there. I thought it started at 8:30. It started at 8:15. So we were late. I felt bad, and it was packed in there. So I was like, maybe not a good idea. Not a good idea. So we decided, okay, we're going to do something else. We'll go get some ice cream. We'll take her to get some ice cream. I had to kind of, since I was reneging on one promise, I had to promise her something else. So we went to McDonald's, and I had to promise her a playground and ice cream. The McDonald's in Dade City has a playground, and they serve ice cream. So it was going to be the both. I was going to be able to fulfill everything right there. Great. We got there, it was about 8:45, around that time. We're doing our order thing, we're playing with the new screen that they have there, and we order our food, and we go out into the playground. It's now 8:55, playground closes at 9. So we had to, and the light, they don't tell you the playground's closed, they just shut the lights off. That's all they do. And so if you know anything about a four-year-old, when she's disappointed, she lets you know. She doesn't hide it. And so she was crying, and she was a little upset. I want to play. And she kept trying to play. And then finally somebody comes out from McDonald's and says, the playground's closed. And so we had to explain to her that it was closed. But I still had the trump card, ice cream. So here we go. We get her in, we get her settled, and she's already eaten her food, and we give her the ice cream, and she's happy. And then we get her loaded, we let her finish up. She has a little bit of ice cream left, so we let her carry it back, and then she fell asleep on the way, and her ice cream dripped all over the van. Not always good to fulfill a promise when you have a tired four-year-old. We've all made promises that we probably didn't keep. We've all been promised something that someone probably didn't keep. Whatever, whichever direction you want to go with that. But here, God has made a promise, and God will keep this promise, and He has kept this promise, because what He is doing in us is making a new creation. The old has passed away, a new has come. A sinner comes to Christ, and the old things pass away. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new." You hear that word, those words? He is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. It's kind of repetition what Paul is saying here, isn't it? He says it twice there. He is a new creation. And then he uses the negative form of this, and he says, the old has gone. Still saying the same thing. The new has come. He says the same thing three times in this one passage. So we have to identify the fact that we, in Christ Jesus, are something new. Why do we play the game with the old rules? Worrying about the same old things, the problems that we face, we don't confront them with a new attitude and a new heart. What is the new attitude? What is the new heart? Is what we cultivate the closer we grow to Christ through His Word. And the closer we grow in Christ through God's Word, the more the Holy Spirit takes over our lives, the more the Holy Spirit directs our thinking to new thoughts. It happens. And it is a beautiful thing when you see it happen in your life. And you feel the presence of God in your being. God wants us to know Him. God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to grow closer to Him. That's why He has promised us that one day we're going to spend eternity with Him. Think about that for just a moment. If God didn't want anything to do with us, why would He promise us eternity with Him? I like you, but I don't like you that much that I want to spend forever with you. But God loves you so much that He wants to spend eternity with each and every one of us. That's how much God loves us. He demonstrates that through Christ Jesus, in Christ laying down His life for us. See, receiving Christ brings a new nature, a new hope, and a heavenly home. And we're looking forward to that heavenly home. But are we living in the new hope that promise gives us? And have we allowed the new nature that we have in Christ to truly take root in our hearts? And people can't help but see Christ in you. You know, it is amazing when people perceive a change in your life, isn't it? When it's a change for the better, there's something about you, you're different. And it feels good when you see a difference. Even if, I remember when I was a kid, I turned 40 next month, so I'm allowed to say that, right? Yes, I turned 40 in April. Whew, it's coming fast. But I remember when a fellow by the name of Chuck Bender, I grew up in the church there, and Chuck was a trumpet player, and he was a nice guy. He was a Florida State alumni. He had the ring that proved it, you know, all this other stuff. He always wore a garment gold or garment tie, the colors. He was a Florida State fan. And I remember Chuck one day, he came up to me and says, "Oh, you look like you lost some weight." I was like, "Really? You think so?" Yeah, I've been 300 plus pounds since sixth grade. So someone noticing that, it feels pretty good. He says, you got your hair cut. Oh, what a slap in the face. Man, that hurt. Yes, he was that kind of guy where he would kid around with you. But I tell you, that one hurt. We like it when people notice a difference. Have we allowed them to see the difference that Christ has made in our lives? Have we allowed them to be drawn closer to Christ through our lives because our hope in what is to come and our eagerness to go to our home that is going to be our home for all eternity? That's a lot of time. It's a lot of time that we're going to be there. You might want to bring some people to spend time with there. A new believer has a new appetite for Christ. And we should have an appetite that is only satisfied when we experience new things in Christ Jesus. Christ has offered us so much. He has given us so much, and He has promised us more to come. And we should desire to know Him more and desire more of Christ in me. More of Christ in me is what I want. God will make things new when Christ returns. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17 says, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we will all, still alive and are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That is a promise that when Christ returns, we're not staying here. We're going to be with Him forever. Are you looking forward to that? Are you eagerly anticipating the day when you hear that trumpet blast? You know, there will be some that will be like, oh no, it's all true. But we should be like the first century church who eagerly was looking forward to the day of Jesus' return. And if you look in your Bible, they would often say this last phrase that's here in your Bible in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifies, amen, come Lord Jesus. And there's a term there in the Greek that says Maranatha. Come Lord, come. In other words, we are looking forward to your return. We are eagerly anticipating the trumpet blast. We are eagerly looking forward to the announcement, the proclamation of Jesus' return. We look forward to Jesus coming. Because we know that when he comes, as that verse states there in verse 17, and so we will be with the Lord forever. For there's no more sorrow, there's no more shame, there's just us in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Everything will become new for believers. The dead in Christ will be resurrected from their grave. They will have new bodies like the resurrected Christ. 1 John 3, 3:12. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be as has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. These old bodies begin to deteriorate too soon. We leave life much as we entered. No teeth, no hair, and all wrinkled. And I'm not talking about just being a baby. It's what we end up like when we get older, isn't it? God knows what He has created. And God knows what He has promised. God will make things new when the universe is rebuilt. Revelation 21:1-6. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This last paradise will be better than the first. The beauty of the earth as we know it thrills the soul. Still, there are marks of natural disasters through the ages. The new earth will have no scars left by the effects of sin. The new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. The hosts of wonderful no more of new things to come. Revelation 21:4, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no, or mourning, or crying, or pain. The old order of things has passed away. A new order of things has come. Folks, we look forward to the day of that coming. But are you living in that hope of today? You see, we are in Christ made new creation today. Eternity is not something that begins far off. It has begun in you when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The trouble is, we don't live in it. Oh, when I get to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. Really? When Jesus was here on earth, He brought heaven with Him. He brought the power of heaven. He brought the love and compassion of the Father. He didn't leave it in heaven. He brought it from heaven to earth. And people were drawn to Him because they saw eternity in Him. Do people see eternity in you? Jesus, who was made in the image of man, who was God in flesh, came and walked among us to demonstrate to us a hope that we could have if we just put our trust in Him and put our hope in what is coming. Conclusion, have you been made new by receiving Christ? Are you ready for Christ's return? Does the anticipation of things new fill you with joy? You know, there is one problem that most people are probably going to have when we get to heaven. It says when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing a new song. A new song. What does that mean? Well, that means that it's an eternal song that only God Himself knows. But we'll be singing it when we get there. Because things made new is not a bad thing. It's encouraging sometimes when you see something new. How many of you like a new house? How many of you like new cars? We like new things, don't we? But the truth is, what God has promised us is far beyond our imagination. It is a new creation, and we have been made new in Him who has delivered the promise. And He is faithful and true. And the promise He has made is, I am making all things new again. Looking forward to what He has promised for you? No more threat. No more fear of going to the doctors. I mean, let's face it. Your blood pressure goes up a few points just by the doctor's appointment, doesn't it? I think doctors need to learn one lesson. They would get a more accurate blood pressure reading if they came to their patient instead of had their patients come to them. That's just me. But God has promised us something new. Take hold of that hope, and may His hope May that hope bring glory and honor to his name to those you come in contact with. Let us pray.